So we live in this digital world, right? Supply chains, constant information flow. It's everywhere. But when something goes wrong, like a system breach or maybe a document is just wrong, how do we actually know who did what? Who's really responsible? It feels like a huge challenge.
Oh, absolutely. That difficulty, that uncertainty about accountability, that's kind of the core tension, isn't it? Especially for digital trust today. We've got all these, sophisticated tools, S-boomeranms, crypto
Hi,
signatures.
the bills of material.
Exactly. They're all designed to say, okay, this person or this entity built this thing. But the authors we're looking at today, they're really clear that these systems, well, they have some critical baked-in limitations.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what we want to unpack in this deep dive. We need to get past the buzzwords. Let's clarify the technical difference between attribution and attestation, especially when we talk about these huge digital supply chains. And then we really need to analyze why these, widely used attestation claims sometimes just fall apart under pressure. We've got sources that really drill down into that difference, cause, claim, responsibility. Okay, let's dig in. So let's kick things off with the basics. Attribution, source defines it pretty simply, right? Associating actions with actors.
Yeah, that's the gist. Think of it like cause to effect, C arrow E. It's clarifying causality, basically.
Okay, so if I just say, Fred wrote this article, that's attribution.
That's attribution. It tells you the actor, Fred, and the action wrote the article. Simple association. But here's the crucial part, the part you really need to grasp. Attribution, defined this way, it lacks a detailed mechanism.
Mechanism, what do you mean?
It doesn't tell you how Fred wrote it. The nuts and bolts. Was it on a laptop? What software? Did he type it all himself? That level of detail, the sort of forensic trail, that's missing from simple attribution.
Ah, I see. So attribution is just the claim Fred did it.
Exactly. Now, contrast that with what the source calls true causality. That could be C arrow ME cause, through a mechanism, to an effect. If we wanted true causality for Fred's article, we'd need that whole audit trail, the physics of it almost.
Okay, so attribution is the simple statement. Causality needs the whole story, the full traceability.
Precisely. And that distinction is really important when we bring in the next piece, attestation.
Right, attestation. This seems to be the key player now, especially in the digital world.
It really is. So attestation, it isn't the action itself. It's testimony about what happened or, how something came to be or what someone did with it. The source uses this notation, arrow RE. An attester takes responsibility for an effect.
Responsibility. Okay, that feels like the core difference then.
It is. When someone attests to something, say, I attest that I wrote this, they are formally taking responsibility for the truth of that statement.
But that immediately brings up issues of, well, honesty, right? The source talks about self-attestation problems.
Exactly. It's a human claim. So think about it. If I copy your article, slap my name on it, and then attest that I wrote it, that's false attestation.
So you've technically taken responsibility.
Yes, I've transferred the responsibility, the legal risk, the financial exposure, maybe onto myself, even though the actual causality who really wrote it is completely wrong.
Wow. Okay. So that inherent risk in just taking someone's word for it, even a formal attestation, that's why we need more rigor.
That's exactly why we need technical rigor, historical rigor. It's not just about code, it's about proving authenticity.
And this isn't exactly a new problem, is it? Just the medium has changed from like parchment to pixels.
Absolutely. This takes us back actually to the historical field of diplomatics.
Diplomatics. Okay, sounds formal.
It is, a bit. It comes from the Greek word diploma, meaning doubled or folded, like official documents used to be. It's the study of documents, legal papers, bills, registers, basically trying to figure out if they're authentic and accurate. It's a core historical science.
So figuring out if a medieval charter is real or a forgery.
Exactly that kind of thing. And its modern successor is digital diplomatics. We're applying the same principles, the same level of scrutiny to the digital world, trying to assert attribution, to a certain level of certainty, especially for legal or compliance reasons.
Okay, so how do we do that now? In the digital world, what are these attestation channels?
Well, typically it involves creating things like digital bills of material D-bombs, or more specifically for code, software bills of material S-bombs.
Oh, S-bombs. We hear about those a lot in supply chain security.
And these methods, these channels, they predominantly rely on providing a digital signature.
Like a cryptographic signature.
Yes. Often as part of a sequence of signatures, maybe across different systems or repositories, it creates what looks like a chain of custody.
So the signature is supposed to link the SBOM sit to the actual code, the bits and bytes.
That's the goal. It creates a hard-to-forge association. And then if you use something like a distributed ledger or just have copies in multiple places.
Like a blockchain or just good backups.
Could be either. The redundancy helps to kind of fix that association, that claim responsibility, in sequence and, crucially, in time. It tries to timestamp the claim.
Okay, that sounds quite robust. Signatures, redundancy, timestamps. Seems like a solid technical approach.
It seems that way.
But I sense a but coming. This is where the sources start pushing back, right? Saying it's not quite the silver bullet we might think.
Exactly. This is where it gets really interesting and, frankly, really important for anyone relying on these systems. The author mentions having the engineering disease.
Yeah.
You know, the inability to oversell something without also pointing out all the ways it could fail.
Huh. Okay. A healthy dose of skepticism. So what are these big limitations?
This is critical. We have to understand attestation is useful. It's necessary even, but it's definitely not magic. The source systematically breaks down six key limitations, six reasons you can't just blindly trust an attestation.
Six. Okay, let's walk through them. What's the first one?
First, back to basics. Attribution, C-arrow-E, is not the same as causality, C-arrow-M-E. We covered that. And crucially, both are inherently limited in granularity. You just can't capture every single detail, the full physics of how something was created.
Okay, so there's always some level of abstraction. Makes sense. What's next?
This one is probably the most important takeaway. Attestation, A-arrow-R-E, is not attribution, C-arrow-E.
Wait, say that again. Attestation isn't attribution.
Nope. Attestation is only a claim of attribution. It's testimony. It's someone saying, I take responsibility for this, but it's not independent, verifiable proof that they actually caused it.
Huh. Okay, that feels huge. If an SBOM, this thing companies are using for compliance and security audits, is just a claim, how reliable is it really? Isn't that a massive gap?
It absolutely is a gap. And that leads directly into the third limitation. The reliability of the attestation is entirely limited by the responsible party.
The person or entity making the claim.
Exactly. The whole system hinges on their honesty, first and foremost.
Yeah.
But also their expertise. Do they actually have the knowledge, the skills, the training to make that claim accurately? And critically, what information did they actually have access to when they made the attestation?
So if the attester is dishonest or just incompetent, or maybe they were given bad info, the whole chain of trust collapses, even with fancy cryptography.
Precisely. The crypto just secures the claim they made. It doesn't verify the underlying truth of the claim. That's the human limitation.
Okay, that's a big one. What's limitation number four?
Number four deals with time, which is quite interesting. The responsibility asserted might not reflect a reality because the responsible party can change over time. The source calls this R prime or R.
Or prime, so like a successor.
Yeah, think about a large company. The person who originally wrote the code, the original R, might have left years ago. The person attesting now might just be a custodian of records. Their attestation isn't really, I did this. It's more like, I'm responsible for the records that say someone else did this.
Ah, so the nature of the claim itself shifts. It gets weaker, more uncertain about the actual origin.
Definitely introduces more uncertainty. Okay, so limitations five and six bring us back to the technology itself, the mechanisms we thought were solid.
Right, the digital signatures and things, they can fail too.
They can. Limitation five is use control limitations. This means the mechanism, the private key used for the signature, for instance, could be used by someone other than the person who's supposed to be responsible.
Like stolen credentials or an insider threat.
Exactly. If someone compromises the key, they can generate a perfectly valid digital signature for a completely false attestation. The mechanism itself works fine technically, but it's being misused.
Wow. So you could have a cryptographically perfect but totally fraudulent SBOM floating around.
Potentially, yes. And that leads to the sixth limitation, which is kind of a catch-all, but still alarming. The mechanisms themselves can be subverted, unreliable, forged, or just fail in other ways.
Like software bugs, hardware failures, successful hacking attempts.
All of the above. There's always a risk of technical failure or a clever attack bypassing the controls.
Okay, so putting all six limitations together, it paints a pretty sobering picture. Attestation is necessary maybe for modern systems, but it's built on human claims, which can be flawed, and technology, which can also be flawed or subverted.
That's the essential takeaway. You have to approach attestation with your eyes wide open about these inherent limitations.
So what does this mean for actually managing risk? You know, risk is all about uncertainty about the future. If attestation has all these uncertainties baked in, relying on it heavily seems risky in itself. What are the real alternatives for organizations trying to navigate this?
Well, you're right. You have to factor these limitations into your risk management. Absolutely. And when you look at the alternatives to using these attestation systems, the source paints a rather stark picture. There are basically four options today.
Okay, let's hear them. I'm guessing they're not all great.
No. First, you can just do nothing. Ignore the problem and basically suffer the consequences of, well, unlimited lies, deception, corruption. That's obviously not a strategy. It's just inviting failure.
Right. Option one, bury your head in the sand. Bad idea. What's two?
Option two, rely on the kindness of strangers. Just hope that all your suppliers, all third parties are honest and competent and doing the right thing.
Huh. Okay. Also known as wishful thinking, not exactly robust risk management.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Option three, you try to do everything yourself. You take on the monumental task of verifying every single piece of software, every component, every claim, trying to separate the wheat from the chaff in this massive flood of information.
That sounds exhausting and probably impossible for most organizations, right? The sheer scale.
It's generally unsustainable, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads to option four. Wait till it breaks and then try to fix it.
Reactive mode. Wait for the disaster, then scramble.
The classic definition of reactive rather than proactive risk management. So, yeah, none of those four are particularly appealing as a sound enterprise strategy.
No kidding. Doing nothing, blind trust, impossible self-verification, or just waiting for the inevitable fire. That's grim.
It highlights the dilemma, doesn't it? These attestation systems like SBOMs, flawed as they are, often push organizations towards that unsustainable third option, trying to verify everything themselves.
So is there a better way? What does the source author actually recommend, personally?
Their personal recommendation is actually much more pragmatic. It's sort of a blend of digital diligence and, interestingly, the physical or human element.
Oh, how so?
Well, they recommend the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Keep redundant copies and backups of important material. Maybe use a centralized controlled site for key assets like they do with all.net, standard stuff. But then they add, invite the author, the original creator, to come and attest in person. Well, they're still alive, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Get them in the room. Put them on the spot.
It sounds a bit funny, but there's a serious point there. It underscores that often the most reliable form of verification involves a real, live human being you can actually question. Someone who can be held accountable in a way a digital signature by itself cannot.
That really drives home the point, doesn't it? Technology is a tool, but it can't completely replace that human element of trust and accountability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That seems to be the bigger picture here. We're developing these increasingly sophisticated attestation channels, D-bombs, S-bombs, archival methods using cryptography. They're getting better, more widespread.
But they fundamentally only certify the claim of responsibility.
Right. Not the proof of causality. They help manage the claim, fix it in time, make it harder to forge. But those underlying uncertainties we talked about, they persist.
The evolution is definitely ongoing, though. Lots of focus on making those cryptographic chains stronger, more integrated.
For sure. The technology is maturing rapidly.
Okay, so on that note of evolving methods, there is one last provocative tidbit from the source that you, the listener, might want to look into further. While much of the industry focuses on strengthening these cryptographic chains, the author points to a potentially different approach emerging. They make a very specific claim that Canada is actually becoming a world leader in rapidly deploying something called narrative integrity techniques.
Narrative integrity? Interesting.
Yeah. The idea seems to be, if digital signatures and crypto are limited by things like human honesty and key management, maybe another way to establish trust is by verifying the coherence and consistency of the human narrative around how something was created or happened. It's a different angle on asserting truth in the digital realm. Definitely something to maybe explore on your own.